Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, sometimes what doesn't look like much turns out to be something really incredible. For me, it was just a bunch of scratches on the ground. I didn't even really notice it at first. But it was so much more than that. When I went on my Holy Land trip, our group had a fantastic tour guide named Ezra. He knew all sorts of stuff about the different places we visited. Well, one of our stops was the synagogue in Capernaum, which was Jesus' hometown as an adult. And as we looked at the ruins of the synagogue, Ezra pointed out some scratches there on the ground. It just looked like a series of squares. But if you look kind of closely, you sort of saw a pattern to them. It still didn't look like a whole lot to me. But Ezra explained that this was actually a game board. When soldiers were just standing around waiting for their next orders, they would draw this game board in the dirt and play a game. Kind of like how soldiers today might play cards in their downtime. This particular game was called the Game of the King. As Ezra explained it to us, each player would have a little figurine, which is like your piece to move in the game. And the pieces would all start at the bottom of the board. At the top of the board, there were two symbols. One was a B for Basileus, or the Greek word for king, and the other was a scorpion, or death. The goal of the game, of course, was to be the first player to reach the king at the end, right? If you were the king, you won. Well, when it was your turn, you would roll a dice, and then you would take a little stick and push your piece that many squares on the board. If you could push your piece without it falling over, then you'd get another turn. If you pushed it and it did fall over, then it was the next person's turn. Very simple kind of game. And yet here it was, preserved on the floor of the synagogue at Capernaum. What's even more interesting is that there is another board game of the Game of the King on the floor of the Antonia Fortress in Jerusalem, the traditional spot where Pilate sentenced Jesus to death, which we hear about in today's reading. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" So imagine Pilate standing there questioning Jesus about his kingship while some Roman soldiers were off to the side playing this game of the king. Their pieces were being pushed around with a little stick. They were falling over and they were just having fun. When it came to Jesus, though, they weren't playing with little figurines. They were playing with him. And he lost. Jesus was being pushed around in a real-life version of the Game of the King, and he died. Learning about this little game has helped me see this scene of Pilate and Jesus in a whole new way. When Pilate asks Jesus if he's the king, it's very much like us using chess metaphors to talk about people. Like, oh, you're just a pawn. Right, as far as Pilate and the soldiers were concerned, Jesus was a pawn. He was not important. He was not the king. And even if he were the king, then the king was being knocked down and the game was lost. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked him. You can hear that sneer in his voice, that laughter he tried to hold back. Like, "You? Really? You're the best they could come up with? Please, let's be serious here. How are you a king? How are you winning this game?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Ah, here's where things change. This is Jesus' way of telling Pilate, yes, I am a king, so to speak, but not the kind of king you're thinking about. I'm not playing your game, Pilate. If I were playing your game, then my followers would be stopping in to knock your pieces to the ground. They would be playing by your rules and trying to prevent my death. But I'm not playing your game. So then we can imagine Pilate asking him, okay then, what game are you playing, Jesus? Isn't that what some people say? When they're trying to figure out someone's motives or goal, they say, what game are you playing? What are you up to here? What's your objective? And in a way, Pilate does sort of ask that when he says, so you are a king. Jesus answered, well, you say I'm a king. Or in other words, that's your language, Pilate. You can't imagine a king who doesn't play by the rules that you've set out. So call me a king if you want, but realize that I'm a different kind of king. So then what is Jesus's game, so to speak? What is he up to? Well, he tells us, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Jesus is not some king in the sense of a ruler who sits on a throne and orders people around. No, he is king in the sense of one who testifies to the truth and who calls us to belong to that truth. But of course, in the very next verse, which the lectionary cuts off, Pilate asks him, what is truth? In our world, sometimes we think truth is relative, right? I have my truth, you have your truth. What's true for you doesn't have to be true for me, this sort of thing. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Instead, he's talking about himself. I am the way and the truth and the life, he says elsewhere in John. Also, notice what else he says. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Now, that's very similar to what he said in John chapter 10 when he talks about being the good shepherd. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Pilate thinks that a king is someone who follows the rules of the pre-established game. Somebody who wants the other players to fall so he can succeed. Somebody whose goal is to reach that final spot and win. Jesus, though, is not playing the game of the king. He is calling people to follow him and to listen to his voice of truth. But why in the world would we want to do that? I think about the way our world works. How often have we heard things like survival of the fittest, only the strong survive, might makes right? So often our world still plays a game of competition and elimination. Think about all the reality shows on TV. This is their premise. Everything from cooking competitions to Survivor and Big Brother. There can only be one winner and everybody else is eliminated along the way. This is our modern day version of the game of the king. There is only one king and everybody else falls by the wayside. And truthfully, in our day, many people would probably vote Jesus off the island because we don't want to listen to him. But what if we did listen? What if we refused to play this game of competition and elimination that our society adores so much? What if instead of striving to knock down the other players, we work to build them up? What if we gave of ourselves so that others might live? That, my friends, is the true way of the king. Christ is king not because he crushes his competitors, but because he lifts up the lowly. He dies not because Pilate and the soldiers crucified him, but because he loves his sheep. He died because he loves you. True kingship is not about doing whatever you can to be the king of the mountain. No, it's about dying on the mountain so that others might live. This is what Jesus has done for us. This is what he's done for you. And this is how he calls us to live for others. Right? As his followers, we don't play this game of violence and cheating and competition that so many others do. Instead, we play by the rules of mercy and compassion and grace. And yes, the rest of the world may think we're weak and try to step on us. But we know whose voice is worth listening to. We know who the truth really is. We know that Christ is king. Neither Pilate, nor the soldiers, nor our world today can be that kind of king for us. And so, as I said at the beginning, sometimes what doesn't look like much turns out to be something really incredible. Like, who would have guessed that Christ is king? Well, we do. And that changes everything. So in the name of this king who we serve and adore, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.